God's did, He's already done it all. He's provided everything. But how do you know we got to walk that out, don't we? I want to read you again. I want to read you this quote from John Lake, because I think it's very good to kind of give you a succinct idea of what we're talking about here. The secret of Christianity is the secret of the Christ possessing the heart of man. Here's the thing. Possessing the heart of man. You know, many times we have Him, but He doesn't have us. Man being yielded to Him so that His victory, His consciousness, and His power possess your spirit and mind. Are you out there? We have, for the most part, made a religion out of Christianity. God never intended it to be a religion. I don't even like when people refer to it as religion. Because I know in their mind, talking about it being a religion, they're just lumping it in with all the other man-made religions in the world. You know, and most religions are just acts of, you know, rote acts of, you know, they don't really mean anything. They have no real, wouldn't make any difference whether you did it or whether you didn't do it. Wouldn't change your life, wouldn't make your life more like God, wouldn't matter one bit. But boy, you just try to change it and see what happens. Boy, they'll show you a Christ-like spirit. Oh, we don't do it that way. Yeah, right? But here's the thing. We've got to understand that Jesus, it was a process. Jesus went from Gethsemane to the cross to the resurrection to the ascension, and then He sat down at the right hand of the Father. And there is going to be a like spiritual process typified by what Jesus did in our life. We talked about it last week. If you didn't hear it, if you weren't able to be here, then go on the website. And you can go on and listen to the podcast and you can see about it. We talked about Gethsemane. Let me just sum it up by saying this, that Gethsemane was a place where Jesus went and He submitted completely, 100%, His will was yielded and submitted to the Father's. This is the starting point, and this is where most Christians miss it. We belong to God, but we live our life our own way. If it's convenient, I'll do it, God, but if it's inconvenient, sorry. But of course, we want Him to be Johnny on the spot whenever we're in trouble. Come on. Don't love me less because I tell you the truth. Okay? But here's the thing. Gethsemane was a place, you know, that's where it had an olive press there. You know, they had the olive trees and they put the olives in there and it was pressed down and the oil was pressed out. That had to do with the anointing. Listen, you want some anointing in your life, you're going to have to go through Gethsemane. You want God to use your life, you're going to have to go through Gethsemane. I'm not talking about some catastrophic thing happening to you, lays you up in the hospital. I'm talking about you on purpose getting alone with God and yielding yourself in prayer, your will, your human will, to the will of the Father. That's what I'm talking about. And if we don't go through Gethsemane, listen, if Jesus had not done what He did at Gethsemane, there would have been no cross. He prayed. His human will was praying. He said, Father, if there's any other way. He said, let's do it. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what He said. He said, if there's any other way, let's do it some other way. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And He went, and it wasn't good. He didn't just do it one time. He didn't just do it two times. It says He went back three times. And Luke says He was in such a struggle, He was sweating drops of blood. This Christianity thing, it's not, you know, it's not the good ship lollipop. You know, give me a sucker and let me lick on it. We're just having a good old time. We've almost reduced it to that, though, in some places. And then all of a sudden, when the reality comes, it's kind of like some of these mortgages, you know. Some people got into these subprime things, didn't know what they were really getting into, thought it was a great deal, and all of a sudden the day of reckoning came. You know, but you know what? That happens in Christianity all the time. Why is there such a great mass of what we call backsliders out there somewhere? They come in because we told them, you come to Jesus, everything will be great. Don't worry about it. You'll never have no problem. Don't worry about it. It won't cost you anything. Then they find out, you know, when it's time to pay the mortgage. And so they stumble over it. They're offended. Why? Because it costs something. Listen, I want to tell you, it costs something to serve God, to be a disciple. And you know what? God never called us to make converts. He called us to make disciples. Isn't that right? Converts are easy. You know, go to the prison. You can make lots of converts in the prison. Isn't that right? But disciples, is what he said, that's going to cost you something. And it's going to start at a place called Gethsemane for your life, where you're going to submit your will to the will of the Father. And I'm going to tell you, if it wasn't easy for Jesus and he was perfect, guess what? If it took him three times, guess what? Might take you a little bit longer, hadn't it? Not being perfect like he was. Might take us a little longer. But here's the thing. Without Gethsemane, there is no cross. Without the cross, there is no resurrection. Without the resurrection, there is no ascension. Without the ascension, there is no sitting at the right hand of power. See, we want to just jump. We want to bypass. You know, we want to build a Christian bypass. You know, a bypass, you know, got so congested trying to go through the middle, you know, main streets, going through the middle of town, so many lights that held us up and everything. You know, after all, that was aggravating, and we ain't got time for that. So they built a bypass around the city, you know, where you could just Cadillac right on around. Well, here's the thing. When it comes to Christianity, I'm concerned sometimes that's what we've done. We've built a Christian bypass. Oh, you don't have, don't go to that crazy church over there at Grace. They're talking about crosses and dying and all that stuff. God just going to bless you. He just wants to bless you. Come on. Well, I believe God wants to bless you, but there's some other stuff in this book too. And listen, if we're going to be a vessel that God can use, if we're going to have an anointing and the touch of God on our lives, we are going to have to submit and yield our will to the will of the Father. This is, to me, this is the biggest need in the body of Christ. More money is needed. More than bigger churches are needed, church buildings are needed, more than, you know, more equipment's needed, more television programs is needed. This is the number one need, in my humble estimation, is that the will of the average Christian be submitted as Jesus was in Gethsemane to the will of the Father. My God, what a force we'd be. What a difference we'd make. What a life we'd live. Oh, I'm telling you. I see it out there. I'm like, man, gotta go for it. But it's not easy. Because how many of you know you got some of this stuff here? Just pinch yourself a little bit right there. You got it? Is it still there? It's that flesh. That's why the second thing we're going to talk about today is necessary. That's something called the cross. Oh, boy. You know, we're in danger of having a crossless and bloodless gospel. But I, for one, am not that. I'm not. If you're looking for that kind of preacher, you're in the wrong place. Because we're talking about the cross is what is for us. We know what the cross was for Jesus. Jesus went to the cross for us, for sinful men. We understand that. But Jesus also, didn't Jesus say this? He said, if any man or woman is going to follow me, what did he say? He must what? Take up his what? Oh, no, Lord. Has anybody got their black magic marker? Maybe we could just mark over that one. Not a cross. We're not going to have to take up a cross, are we, Ann? Surely not a cross. I mean, Jesus did that for me. Yeah, he had his cross, but you know what? You have yours. And it is called a death to self and to sin. Now, you know, typically, naturally speaking, when people were crucified on a cross, it was a slow, agonizing death. And I don't know what your experience has been, but if you've in any way attempted to take up the cross that Jesus was talking about there, the cross of dying to your own will, your own self, your own life, I'm telling you what, my experience has been, it's been slow, sometimes painfully slow, and definitely agonizing. because there's something about our carnal nature and our own self that we tend to want to put our self-interest first. We want to do what's comfortable for us. We want to do what's best for us, you know, and then if it's convenient, we'll work in some cross time here. You know, Jesus didn't go up on, Jesus didn't stay on the cross, 10 minutes out of every hour. He was up there the whole time. I said he was up there the whole time. Isn't that right? And so we're going to have to learn that process is going to have a similar spiritual pattern in us, that we're going to find it. It's going to be like, you take up your cross and you start walking with that. And you may feel like, you may be like Jesus. Jesus, he was trying to carry that cross and he was so weak, he fell, he fell down. And he was trying to struggle with that thing. Have you ever felt that way? Turn over to Romans chapter 6. We're going to look over there for a little bit here for the little time I got left. I ain't got much time. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Anybody here been baptized into Christ Jesus? You were baptized into his death. Baptized into his death. His death. His death. I want to let that sink in because that's a word we're all having aversion to. Death. So negative. We were therefore buried with him. Oh no, man, not only were we dead, now we're buried. We're buried with him through baptism into death. There's that death word again. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. Now here's the thing. Did Jesus just bypass the cross and death and was just resurrected? But many times, see, as Christians, that's what we want to do. The flesh has a natural aversion to all things death. Isn't that true? You don't have fun at a funeral. Yeah, it's not enjoyable to go to a funeral home. Your flesh don't even like to be around them. Let's go party. Come on. You know I'm telling the truth. Y'all looking so holy out there. I commend you on your holy look. We don't like the death thing, do we? We don't. But here's the thing. We have to understand this. There is no life without death. This is the paradox of the kingdom. We should say it this way. There is no new life without death to the old life. And as long as I hold on to my old life, I cannot really enjoy the benefit of the new life. And so many Christians are in that constant struggle. You know where they live? They live in Romans 7. Remember what Paul said over there? He said, with my mind I want to serve God, but I find out there's something else working in me. And when I try to do good, I do bad. And I try to do good and end up doing bad. And, forget it. And that's where a whole lot of Christians are. Because what? They've never experienced the cross. And to try to live this Christian life without going to the cross is to try to live a supernatural life based with the old sin nature, with the old life, trying to do it. It's impossible. You can't do it. Are you listening to me? You can't do it. How many of you have tried it and failed at doing it? Put up both feet if I could. It doesn't work, does it? It doesn't work. We've got to go to that place to where we die. Now here Paul's talking about, he said now, in the mind of God, this has already happened in the mind of God. As far as he's concerned, if you're in Christ Jesus, you've been identified, with his death, with his burial, and with his resurrection. But how many just knowing that legally, that don't cut it. That don't get it. That don't mean we're living a life that's victorious. And, in many cases, this is what Paul was talking about in chapter 7. Paul knew all that, and he said, and knowing all that wasn't enough. Just knowing that, legally, that I was nailed, the old man was nailed to the cross, that I was buried with him in baptism, that I was raised up in the mind of God. He said, just knowing that wasn't enough, because in Romans 7, he said, I still can't live it. So there has to be a visitation if you were to take up our cross. And like I say, that's a process, a process. You can hold your place right there, but turn over to Colossians just a minute. I know I'm not going to get through with this today, but I'll get it introduced and we'll talk about it some more on the next time. Colossians 3. Let's look a little bit. We talk about it being a process. Colossians 3 verse 1. He said, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the God. Now, we're talking about the process. How does this process work itself out? First, it has something to do with where you set your affections. Where are your affections? Where are your affections? That's not a rhetorical question. I want you to ask yourself that. Where are my affections? Where are my affections? Where are my desires? Where are my dreams? What's most important to me? What am I laying my life down for? What am I giving my time, my energy? What am I giving all that to? Oh, Pastor, I'm going to lay up a big inheritance for somebody else to spend. Well, I'd rather lay up something in heaven. Glory to God. You know, like somebody said, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. Isn't that right? Amen. And so he says here, the first thing, if we're going to go through this process, is you're going to have to what? Set your affections on things above. In other words, you're going to have to do something with your thinking, with your mind, with your emotions. What are you going to do with them? Well, most Christians I run into, they just live by their emotions. Their emotions say, I feel good, then they feel good. Their emotions say, I've got the victory, they've got the victory. Their emotions say they're saved. But if their emotions are down, oh, I lost the victory. I don't know. I don't know if this word's true or not. Because, it reads the same, but you don't know how I feel. Well, listen, you need to set your affection on things above. How do you do that? You're going to have to get into the book called the Bible. This thing has got to begin to govern your affections. How can you set your things on your mind, your affections on things above, if you don't know what the things above are? Isn't that right? He said, set your heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above. Get your mind renewed with the Word of God. Set your mind on things above. I guarantee you, if you happen to approach death in a way that you know it's imminent, I guarantee you won't be thinking about your Cadillac out in the driveway. I wonder if it needs washing. You ain't going to be thinking about that, honey. Listen, you don't need to be thinking about that so much now either. Nothing wrong with washing your car. But I'm going to tell you what. If some people put as much time in their Christian walk as they did keeping their automobile up, they'd be a super saint. Oh, boy, I done gone to meddling now. Oh, Pastor, don't preach like that. Nobody will come back. Well, that's not my problem. I'm just a delivery boy. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. Flash, news flash, headlines. You can put your name there. I'll put mine so y'all won't feel creepy. Norris, you died. And unlike Mark Twain, it is not greatly exaggerated. It is the truth. It is the truth. You died. You died. You died. Amen. Your obituary has been written. You died. Oh, some of y'all are looking at me. You died. Maybe you didn't know you died. Maybe that's the problem. How many of you know that no dead person is sinning? All these, you go by all these graveyards today. You may go by one on the way home. All those people out there, they hadn't sinned since the day they died. And you know what? If we would learn that truth and we would die now and understand we're dead now, neither would sin control you. But see, all these carnal affections are still alive. We haven't set them on heavenly things. We set them on earthly things. I want this. I want that. I need that. I don't have that. It's not right. They got it. I don't. I should. You know all those affections, don't you? Why has this happened to me? I'm a good person. I'm a lot better than them. Hey, I know what you say. I'm human too. Notice this. He said, for you died. Everybody just I know it sounds kind of creepy, but just say, I died. It's kind of creepy, isn't it? I died. He said, you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Where is your life? It's hidden in Christ with God. Where is your life? Where is your life? Oh, my life. Oh, my life is everything being comfortable. My life is owning a big house. My life is owning that second car. Boy, man, that'll do it. Whatever it is. My life is everybody liking me. Oh, bless your heart. Come see me after the service. But here's the thing. He says, your life, where's the life of Christ? We read about it here. He said, I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of him who sent me. He said, I didn't come to be served. I've come to serve others. You read over there in Philippians, it said, let this mind be in you, this attitude be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Why? Well, it ought to be because what? You died and your life is now in him. It says he humbled himself even to the point of death on the cross. Listen, you won't go to the cross. You won't take up your cross until you can humble yourself. And get over this I ought to have and I deserve to have and all those kind of things. You know, all those things that start with I. I need, I should, I have a right. Come on. I am at the right church, aren't I? Is there Christians in here? Okay. I want to make sure I didn't turn into some other place. Notice this. When Christ, listen, when Christ, who is your life, appears. Now, you know, I can remember for the first many years I used to read that. I always thought about it as the second coming of the Lord. When Christ, who is your life, appears. He said, then your life also will appear. But that's not what it says. When Christ when Christ appears where? In your life. Look at it. Listen. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear. Because your life is what? Hidden in him. When Christ appears where? In my life. When Christ appears in my life, he cannot, listen, God didn't make you to be a split personality or a dual personality. It's either Christ going to live in you or you going to live in you. But it's not going to be both. And he says it's only when Christ, when the life of Christ appears in me, then I'm living my true life. One translation says you live your true life is in him. And this is what we're talking about. We want the life of Christ to be seen in us. And until I am willing to take up my cross and say, God, not my will, your will be done. Here's what I'm doing. I'm setting my affection on heavenly things. I'm putting you first, not just, you know, in a meeting, but I'm putting you first, period, in my life. First in my affections, first in my pursuits, first in my service, first in my resources, first in everything. Why do you think that all throughout the scriptures, God is saying that, you know, he's saying, okay, here's the thing. All right, he's teaching us, okay, give me some of your finances first. Give me some of your time first. Give me this. What's he's trying to teach us to do? Through natural things, he's teaching us what? How to go to that cross and die. And the old natural man says, nah, Lord, now, you know, if I've got some left over, I'll give it to you. I'll give you my leftover finances, leftover time, leftover service. Come on. Isn't that true? And yet when we all affirm that we're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ and you're happy with that? You're going to appear before him with that? Say, Lord, well, you know, I did the best I could. Boy, you don't want to be caught saying that. Whatever you do, don't say that. Just be honest and say, Lord, I blew it. But surely don't tell him you did the best you could if you didn't. Because if you didn't give him first, if you didn't put him first, you didn't give him the best. If you gave him second or third, you gave him the leftovers, you gave him convenience, you gave him whatever. Listen, you hadn't gone to the cross yet. And here's the thing. He said you got to take up your cross daily. Daily. You know, does your flesh ever tell you, I don't want to pray today? Does your flesh ever tell you, I don't want to worship? Bless God, I'll tell you one thing. They'll say, lift their hands. I ain't got to lift my hand. You got to do nothing. And then they want, you know, one of the elders or me or somebody in the church to pray the prayer of faith for you. Jesus couldn't pray the prayer of faith for you with that attitude. Come on, it's true. It says he went, listen, he was in Nazareth where he grew up, and he said he could do no mighty works there because of their attitude. They had an attitude of unbelief. Who's this guy think he is? We know his mama. I went to school with his mama. It says he could do no mighty work there. Isn't that right? So here's the thing. See, we hadn't learned to die. That's not the Jesus life talking. That's your old flesh talking. Well, I ain't got to do it. And I'll tell you another thing. I ain't going to do it. Well, that's your problem. When you appear before the Lord, that's your problem, isn't it? But here's the thing. He says you can change that. You can set your affections on him. You say, Lord, for you, I'll do it. For you, Lord, I'll do it. For you, I'll serve. For you, I'll give. For you, I'll deny myself. For you, I'll give you the best I have. For you, I'll do it. And you know, I said a funny thing, you know what I mean? How that works is once you do that, isn't it interesting how that turns around? And Jesus said, now you're ready, you're fit to serve and help someone else. You know, the reason that God doesn't use many Christians as much as we could is because we haven't gone through this process. How many dead people out in the graveyard you think is worried about their stocks and bonds? I wonder what the stock market did. I wonder if somebody's talking about me. No, dead people don't think about those things, do they? Hello? Where does all the strife, all the stuff come forth in the body of Christ? Where does that all come? Because we got a bunch of people that ain't died yet. And I'm constantly thinking about myself 24/7. They said, they did, they didn't say, they didn't do, they should have done. Why did they do? And I'm mad, and I got a right to be mad, and if you don't like it, I'm mad at you too. Praise the Lord. Isn't that the truth? We've all been there. We all might as well just say, Lord, oh, we all say, oh, me. But see, why is it? Because we haven't died yet. We can't all get along because we got all this carnal nature is ruling everybody. And you know the carnal nature is selfish. Man, I'm happy as a clam as long as I get my way and you agree with me all the time. Hey, man, I'm easy to get along with. How about you? Aren't you that way? But we got to what? We got to die to ourselves. This is what we're going to be talking about. We're going to look at this process of dying. He said, because it's only when Christ, who is your life, that appears, that you also appear. Some of us, all we know about is who we are after the flesh. I know I got a temper. I know I'm impatient. I know one thing, boy, I can worry. Well, all you know is what your flesh can do. Your real life, you've never discovered yet because you've never gone by the way of the cross. You know, your real life has to do with love, joy, peace, goodness, long-suffering, gentleness, mercy, meekness. Amen. That's your real life. But most of us never get to enjoy any of it because we ain't going to that cross. Don't take up my cross. Notice what he says here real quickly in verse 5. Put to death. Oh boy, there's that word again. Paul, why in the world you keep bringing that word up? Put to death. What's the understood subject here? You, not God. Boy, how we prayed to God. Oh, God, kill me. Oh, God, do something with this. Oh, God. Oh, God. No, he said, you put it. Listen, how many of you believe if God tells you to do something, you can do it? God's not going to tell you to do something that you can't do and that he's not going to help you do. But here's the thing. You got to do it. Isn't that right? You can say, God, pay my car payment. You know what? God may supply the money, but you're going to have to fill that money out and get it in the mailbox. Isn't that right? Notice he said, you put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Uh-oh. Then he lists a few choice ones. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, all of which is idolatry. Idolatry. You know what idolatry is in essence? Putting something in the place of God. He's first. If I allow my carnal nature, Paul said these things right here are some of them. They're not all, but they're some of the things that are going to take God's place in your affection, in your pursuit, and what's important to you. He said, you're going to have to put these to death. Put them to death. Let me translate that for you. Don't do them. Deep, huh? Isn't that right? It's interesting. You know, a lot of times, I say this all the time, and I'm closing. It's 7 minutes after 12. So I'm closing. My first closing. Just kidding. But, you know, it's interesting. We have gotten so much into self-help has come into the body of Christ so much. It's been intermingled with the gospel. Well, give us 17 dozen steps to how I put this thing to death. The Bible doesn't say anything about steps. He just said, do it. Put it to death. Just don't do it. Yeah. But I want to. I know. Don't do it. But I like it. I know it. Don't do it. Put it to death. It rises up. What do? No. Flesh wants to. No. Hey, let's practice that. Everybody say that with me. No. See, there it works. See how easy that is? That's easy. No. Remember when they had the drug thing? You know, just say no. It works. It works. You know, but you know, the self-help creeps in. And you know, now we got to have a 14 dozen step to, you know, and it never gets them free. They go through all them steps and they're still, why? Because the flesh hadn't died. They didn't put the flesh to death. You can't educate the flesh. You got to control the flesh. You got to kill the flesh. You got to crucify the flesh. Thank you, brother. One last scripture, and I'm going to let you go because you can only take so much. I understand. Galatians 5. I understand. Hey, I got flesh too. You know, like I say, I get to hear all these messages at least twice, sometimes three or four times before you get to hear it once. So I'm not up on the mountain preaching down there. I'm just telling you, I'm just the delivery boy. In Galatians 5, I want to read a scripture here. We're going to get into this more in process of time. Verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus. Got anybody in here who belongs to Christ Jesus? Amen. Have crucified the flesh, the sinful nature, with its passions and desires. Ooh. Wow. Those that are Christ have crucified. Listen, crucifixion, whatever you might think it is, one thing it definitely is not fun, easy, without pain. Come on. Listen, you know this, if it was easy, everybody in the world would be doing it. But we've preached it easy for so long. When somebody like me comes along and tries to tell you what the scriptures really tell you, you're like, oh, Pastor Norris, he just preaches hard. I'm preaching hard. Listen, this is something you can do. This is something the Spirit of God in you will help you to do. But the reason I'm reluctant to say that too much is because we think help means he's going to do it for us. No, you have to do it. And he will help you. He will strengthen you. He'll give you grace. But you have to say no. You have to crucify. You have to set your affections. You have to get your mind renewed. You have to do that. If you do your part, he'll do his part. And it's not easy. I'm not saying that. So you say, well, if it's not easy, I didn't say you couldn't do it. I just said it's not easy. Because I don't want you to, you start this process and you say, well, Pastor Norris said it was easy. I didn't say that. If it was easy, everybody in the body of Christ would be doing it. You probably can't count, you probably don't know more people than you can count on one hand that's done this. Because it's not easy. And remember this, it is a process. It is a process. But here's the thing. Without death, we don't know the resurrection life. We can talk about it, admire it, preach about it, amen about it, sing about it, shout about it, but we don't ever get any of it. I don't know about you. I want to get some of it. Amen. All that other stuff's good, but I mean, after a while, you get tired of just singing about it, shouting about it, preaching about it, teaching about it, seminaring about it, webinaring about it. Isn't that right? Glory to God. Reading about people that experienced it back then. I want some of it myself. Isn't that right? But here's the thing. I'll be honest with you. It's only going to come through that process. You got to go through death. I'm talking about that carnal nature. Amen? We say we're going to pray. I ain't got time to pray. Well, you better make sure you're truthful about that, because you're going to be called to reckon one day. And it ain't going to be for me. You can fool me, but you ain't going to fool God. He's going to know whether you had time or not. He's going to say you had time. It's just your old flesh. You didn't want to crucify it. I wanted to watch as the stomach turns instead of coming to pray. Y'all laugh. Yeah, it's true, isn't it? Oh, yes. But I'm going to tell you what. When a crisis of life comes, you call those guys on whoever directed that as the stomach turns and see if he'll come help you. I'm pretty sure he won't. Isn't that right? When Christ, who is your life, appears where? Appears in this life, then you also, your life will appear. Love, joy, peace, goodness. You know what? You think about it. When that kind of life comes out, there's not one person in the world that can cause you a single problem. It don't matter how ugly they are, how nasty they are, how mean they are. Don't matter. Why? Because I got love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Long-suffering. You say, yeah, and that's what we're doing now with this message. Because I've gone over my time. But here's the thing. We want to, listen, let's don't just, I know it's real easy. You hear a message. We hear so many messages in our life. We're not, but think about this. Maybe go back and re-listen to the, get on the web. If you get on the web, get on it. If you don't, you can order a copy made here. But get it and re-listen to it. Get your Bible out. Look at the scriptures and take time. Listen, we need to get serious about our Christian walk. I don't know. I was just different. Man, when I sinned, bless God, I sinned. I wasn't no tepid sinner. Lord. Well, I sinned a little bit. Now, bless God, get at it. Y'all look so holy. That's some of y'all's problem. But then, man, when I got saved, I'm going with God. Bless God, let's go if we're going to go. If we're not, just say you're not. But don't say, yeah, we are, and then you don't. Let's get with it. Let's encourage one another. Yeah. We can do it. You can do it.
Yes.
And we can do it, especially if we do it together. It's like kind of like getting in shape, isn't it? Yeah. It's a whole lot easier if you got somebody to get in shape with. Isn't that right? And all of us in areas, we need to go through this process. And so we can just, we can encourage one another in it.
Amen.
Man, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to encourage you. You can do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we need to tell each other once in a while, have you died today? I get people's attention when they overheard that. Have you died today? Because he said it's a daily thing, didn't he? He said, I die daily. I visit that cross every day. Because what? Every day you get up. How many know every day you get up, this flesh is with you? If you don't get up, you ain't got no cares. Isn't that right? No worries, man. Because you're with the Lord. But every day you get up, you got to crucify this thing. And how do you do it? You just say, no. We're not going there. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. And pretty soon, you know what will happen? The spirit life, and this is what we'll talk about later. The spirit on the inside, the spirit life will begin to rise up. And it'll begin to dominate. And so you know what? That flesh will come under easier. Your flesh is like a wild bucking bronco. You know, in the old West days, you know, they'd catch those wild horses and they always had somebody that had to, they had to break it. They call it breaking them, you know, had to tame them. Man, the first time they got set on that thing, look out. Man, they'd shoot them up in the air. Thing bucking and kicking and that's the way your flesh is. First time you say no, what do you mean no? I'm used to having my way. But here's the thing. They stay in that saddle and stay in that saddle and stay with that thing and stay with that thing and stay with that thing, you know. That calms down. That's the way your flesh will do to the spirit. He says if we live in the spirit, we'll not what? Fulfill the lust, the desires, the appetites of the flesh. But see, the problem is with some of us, first time we sit on that horse, it takes off, man. We're like, whoa, that can't be done. Nobody can ride that horse. Well, you can with the help of God. Amen. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. We're on our way to the throne. We're on our way to the throne. We hadn't got there yet, but we're what? We're on our way to the throne. But listen, you know, somebody who's letting their... You think God's going to let somebody rule and reign that's letting their flesh dominate them? That's just doing whatever, you know, whatever they want to do? Listen, if Jesus, who was the Son of God incarnate, perfect, if he had to go through this process, you know, before he sat down at the right hand, then for us, it's going to be a similar process, isn't it? A similar process. And here's the thing. Let's don't be content with, well, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. You know. You might want to read your Bible again. It might not be quite that clear cut. But be that as it may, why would you want to live that way? Is that the return you want to give God back for the life he gave you? I don't think so. Amen. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if my life is right with God. I'm not sure that my sins are forgiven, that I've ever asked Jesus to come into my life to be my Savior. I'm not sure, but I want to be sure before I leave here. And I would like for you to pray for me. If that's you, would you lift your hand anywhere in the building? Anyone in here in the building? I'm going to pray for you. I don't see any hands. For the rest of us, so I'm assuming the rest of us are believers.